in jails, you know, sheriffs are telling us they've become burdened with more and more inmates who have mental illnesses. ERs have, you know, become overcrowded with people who are in crisis. In things like the mass shootings, we're seeing the costs of not dealing with this problem for decades.
There is a new complication, according to your reporting, with something called dual diagnosis. People come to get mental health care or intersect on some of these really serious violent issues, but they have other issues that compound some of those other mental health conditions.
Yeah, and I think there, you know, in the medical field in general, there's a sort of greater focus these days on getting integrated care. In other words, coordinating care for people, seeing you know, mental and physical and other problems as part of a whole person. But when you have people who have a developmental disability and a mental illness, it can be very, very difficult to find that coordinated care. I mean, there aren't really psychiatrists who are necessarily versed in everything about developmental disabilities and mental illnesses. They might not even be able to diagnose what's wrong with a person who has both diagnoses.
Are these issues, we understand, like autism or Down syndrome, developmental disabilities that compound some mental illness issues?
Developmental disabilities can include anything from autism to cerebral palsy, fetal alcohol syndrome. And among people with developmental disabilities, there's actually a higher rate of mental illnesses. Things like obsessive compulsive disorder, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression. And these, you know, are often, they're masked under what people see as intellectual or developmental disabilities. They can be hard to pinpoint.
So what can be done when these complications sort of multiply and compound?
You know, right now families find that they're kind of on their own when they're dealing with issues like this. They find, you know, parents of children who have dual diagnoses find that they have to do a lot of sort of stringing together a lot of different kinds of care, going to a lot of different places to try to get everything that they need. And they find themselves sort of isolated. You know, I heard from a lot of families who said, you know, we have to do everything by ourselves. We have to sometimes lock our son in his room to keep the rest of the family safe. We have to call 911. You know, what they told me that they need is some sort of person who can provide, you know, what their mothers are doing right now, coordinating this care, bringing it all together.
It can just be exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely. Exhausting, isolating. I mean, some of the families have said, well, one thing we need is respite, just a break from sort of the day-to-day stress. But, you know, in some very extreme cases, there can be broader repercussions. Adam Lanza's father recently told The New Yorker that he thought that his son had not only autism, but maybe schizophrenia that was undiagnosed and untreated. And what happened in that case was, you know, that Adam Lanza and his father and his mother became very isolated from the rest of the world, cut off in the same way that families have told me that they've been cut off.
Well, communities are beginning to address this more broadly, particularly here in Colorado this weekend. What do you know about the Creative Communities forums that are taking place around the state?
So creating community solutions is a way to sort of bring the national dialogue on mental health into Colorado. There have been a series of meetings already in communities across the state. And this Saturday, April 5th, there will be another set of meetings. The meetings are bringing together 60 organizations that are involved in providing mental health services and advocacy. But they're also bringing together, you know, people who have mental illnesses, their family, you know, community members. And the idea is to identify issues of priority in specific communities and then to develop specific action plans to address these problems.
There doesn't appear to be a lot of extra money for expanding the beds in Pueblo at the State Mental Health Hospital. The sheriffs are all crying for more resources. What next in the financial struggle to care for our society's mentally ill?
One thing that came out of the shooting in Aurora in 2012 was an understanding, at least, that this should be more of a priority. The legislature and Governor Hickenlooper came up with a plan to fund crisis centers that are supposed to relieve some of the burden on jails and hospitals. Unfortunately, these crisis centers have been sort of tied up in a lawsuit. They're not happening this year, this fiscal year. They might not be happening next fiscal year. Stay tuned.
Kristen Jones with the iNews investigative team. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you, Steve.